Please Show Me Your Glory, Commentary for the September 20th, 2025 Sabbath School Lesson by Stephen Terry, Director, Stillwaters Ministry, www.visitstillwaters.com. Then Moses said, Now show me your glory. And the Lord said, I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But, he said, you cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live. Then the Lord said, There is a place near me where you may stand on a rock. When my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft in the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will remove my hand, and you will see my back, but my face must not be seen. Exodus 33, verses 18 through 23. A memory I have from my teenage years is of many times I stood out under a night sky and had my breath swept away by the awesomeness of the Milky Way spread across the expanse of space like an interstellar freeway inviting humanity to the stars, and fellowship with the rest of creation. Those were the heady days of the space race, when anything seemed possible. I was only 17 and in Army basic training at Fort Bliss near El Paso, Texas, when men landed on the moon. All assignments were canceled for the day, and everyone gathered in the day room to watch grainy footage of the landing on a picture tube television. It still astonishes us today to realize that the landing and return were accomplished with far less computer power than what we all currently carry around with us in our mobile phones. Despite that early success and a final landing 3 years later, we have not been back in over half a century. I remember hearing sermons in the 1960s proclaiming that humanity will never land on the moon because God would not allow us to contaminate the rest of the universe with our evil. I have not heard any of those sermons since the landings happened, but it begs the question, is there a red line in space that keeps us in check? The story of Noah seems to hint at such an idea. According to that account, humanity became so evil that God repented ever creating them, according to Genesis 6, verses 5 and 6. A red line was crossed then, and a near-extinction event was the result. Much later, Jesus warned that conditions would approach that red line again, with love nearly vanishing from the earth, according to Matthew 24, verses 12 and 37, and also Luke 18, verses 7 and 8. Daily, if not hourly, we hear of demonically inspired people filling the earth from one end to the other with the blood of their victims. The people in response flee to and fro like sheep without a shepherd, filled with fear and unable to calm those fears because even those who claim to know God are imposters, proclaiming peace and safety while being allowed to feed on the flock in return for not decrying the evil that stalks the earth. The prophet Ezekiel wrote of these evil religious leaders, This is what the sovereign Lord says, I am against the shepherds, and will hold them accountable for my flock. I will remove them from tending the flock so that the shepherds can no longer feed themselves. I will rescue my flock from their mouths, and it will no longer be food for them. Ezekiel 34, verse 10. Ezekiel wrote this long before the incarnation of Jesus, and it continued to be a problem after Jesus' ascension. The Apostle Paul wrote of it as well, warning the church in Corinth, For such people are false apostles, deceitful workers, masquerading as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. It is not surprising, then, if his servants also masquerade as servants of righteousness. Their end will be what their actions deserve. 2 Corinthians 11, verses 13 through 15. Do we dare to think that the problem has since gone away? Hardly. If Jesus' warning was true, it will only worsen with time. All of us will be touched by evil and feel the pain and suffering it engenders. Paul wrote to his student Timothy to warn him. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evildoers and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived, 2 Timothy 3, verses 12 and 13. Paul was not speaking here of the phony persecutions over whether prayer should be allowed in public schools or the Ten Commandments should be placed in public spaces. Those who were martyred in the Colosseum in Rome would be shocked at such a ludicrous idea. They knew from experience that the hardest thing for evil to accept is not displaying the Ten Commandments in public or standing up in public spaces to pray as an exhibition of self-righteousness. No, the greatest threat to evil is one who continues to live with love in their hearts, even for their enemies, despite overwhelming fear roiling through humanity like a great tidal wave, sweeping everyone as an unruly and unreasoning mob to their certain destruction. The evil one has worked hard to turn humanity evil and to then cast God in that image as well. He knows that if horses were to have a God, it would be an image and character like a horse. Therefore, it is easy to manipulate fearful people, stoking their anger and desire for revenge, into accepting such a character for the God they follow. Such a God leads people to either reject him as eviler than humanity, or to accept him as endorsing justification for their own acts of cruelty and vengeance. But this is not God. As Aaron took the gold the people gave him and made a golden calf in the fire for the people to worship, knowing it was a false god, so people have taken their corrupt hearts and offered them in the fires of fear and hatred to create a false god who would allow them to claim divine favor for the evil they wish to perpetrate on the earth. They do not understand how short life is, and they do not know the character of God. Their actions show they have never known God, no matter how nicely they dress to attend church, no matter how many blessings they claim God has favored them with as blessings of endorsement, no matter how many little gold crosses, bumper stickers, and Jesus t-shirts they use to proclaim they are the true children of God. One day they will hear the woeful words of Jesus. Many will say to me on that day, "Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles?" Then I will tell them plainly, "I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers." Matthew 7, verses 22 through 23. When Moses asked to see God's glory, God did not display his glory in wrath and judgment. It has never been his desire that any should perish, according to 2 Peter 3, verse 9. He also has no desire for his people to run roughshod over the flock, to root out those who are still struggling to understand the love of God, according to Matthew 13, verses 24 through 30 and 36 through 43. Those driven away by such harshness are victims of the false god of fear that so many professed Christians have made an idol to in their hearts. But the Apostle John tells us that a failure to love reveals we do not know God at all, for God is love, 1 John 4, verse 8. This is the glory that God revealed to Moses, as in our opening verse he declared, "I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion." God told Moses that no one could look upon his face and live. That is because fear and love are incompatible. Perfect love, God's love, drives out fear, 1 John 4, verse 18. Fear cannot stand in love's presence. This is why we must have the image God created us to have in the beginning restored, that we might once again walk with God as Adam and Eve did. Part of that change involves heart surgery. Living in constant fear has changed our hearts to stone. We need again the hearts of flesh God intended to beat in our chests with the harmony of the created universe, the harmony of heaven, the harmony of love. Ezekiel tells us that it can happen if we let it. Speaking for God, he wrote, "I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh." Ezekiel 36:26. I look forward to that day when I can walk with God as Adam and Eve did. I look forward to the day when fear has ended because the evil that built it as a tool for manipulating humanity no longer exists. I look forward to a day when pain and suffering will no longer even be a memory, a day when God's dwelling place is now among the people and he will dwell with them. They will be his people and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. Revelation 21, verses 3 and 4. What a day that will be. Thank you for listening to this commentary podcast. You can find the written version of this commentary, as well as 100 more commentaries and podcasts at our website at www.visitstillwaters.com. You can also find links to other articles by the author, as well as links to books he has written. Once again, that's www.visitstillwaters.com. May God richly bless you and your family.